Welcome to the Asbury First United Methodist Church Weekly Sermon. We hope you enjoyed this message. For more information about this podcast or other ways to connect, please visit asburyfirst.org.
Throughout my 63 years of ordained ministry, I have often been asked, from where do the ideas for a sermon come? And the answer is from many, many sources. It may be something that I have heard or observed. It can be something that's going on in the life of the congregation presently being served. It can come from times of meditation, personal devotion, deep prayer. It can come from times of a happening in the church or the nation or the world or the community. It can also be found in a text with which I've had a love affair for many, many years. There are many sources. This sermon is sourced in this text from 2 Corinthians, with which I have had this wonderful love affair for over 63 years. This is the text that my bishop used when he preached the sermon at my ordination in June of 1959. Its significance to me has grown over the years. Its first major growth spurt occurred during our 9 years as missionaries in the Republic of the Philippines. Its second and more recent growth spurt occurred just recently. A few months ago, Madeleine Albright, our first woman Secretary of State, died. And watching one of the many interviews and shows that were about her given in celebration of her very significant service to our country, she made a statement that really stuck with me. This is what she said. See something? Say something, do something. And I discovered our scripture text coming alive again with new and fresh meaning, ministry and message, the two M's. See something, say something, do something. My friends, we have something to say. We have something to do. Word and action. Let's take a look at this text a little closer. The first M, message. And this is a paraphrase of verse 19 of our scripture. Our message is that God was making all humankind friends through Jesus Christ. God did not keep an account of their sins. God has given us the message which tells how God makes them friends. So we have a message. We have something to say. We have something to declare. We have something to preach. So what is this message? And how are we doing in the delivering of the message? Well, I think we can unpack this message into 7 manageable bites. Do not fear. This is not a 7-point sermon. It's only a 2-point sermon, message and ministry, so relax. Number 1, God desires to be in fellowship with us. Number 2, God is determined to bridge the gap that exists between God and God's creation. Number 3, God is a God who leads people then and now from bondage, slavery, which is the deep message of the Hebrew Scriptures, delivering us from all that would ensnare us and hold us and trap us, habits, fears, prejudices, anger. 4, God intervened in human history in the person of Jesus Christ, the perfect, complete sacrifice for all human sin. 5, this completely obedient Son paid the price the full price for my sin, for your sin, for the world's sin. 6, our accepting Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord appropriates, delivers this gift of salvation to us. And 7, we who know this, we who believe this, we who accept this, are given the joyful task of telling others, of getting the word out. We are entrusted with this message of reconciliation. So how are we doing? I recall a visit to Barnes & Noble some time ago. I held the door for a young college student, and his reply was, "Thank you, sir, and bless you." That response really got me, and we bumped into each other in the stacks later on as we were looking for a book, and picked up the conversation again, and I said, "Hey, how would you like a cup of coffee?" He says, "Great." So when we were done, we went into the cafe and had a conversation over coffee about faith, about the Christian way of life, about the message that is ours to share. And happily, our conversation was overheard by those in the cafe, some of whom, 5 to be exact, moved their chair over and joined our conversation. Tell the story. Get the message out. Recently, I needed a battery for my watch, and as I was waiting for the technician to install the battery, I overheard a conversation at the other end of the counter about, quote, the present condition of our community, our country, our world, citing the way people are treating people these days in violence and anger and hatred. I could not keep silent. Remembering the words Stephen used in a sermon just a few weeks ago, a powerful 2-word sentence, kindness ripples. And I shared that with the group, and it was amazing to see how that opened up this congregation, this conversation, and what turned out to be a very, very lengthy conversation, sharing about the message, about the good news of Jesus Christ, about the message of reconciliation. Some of you know I like to walk. I don't walk as much as I used to anymore, but I still give it a stab. I like walking in our area, just talking to people as you go by. Good morning, good afternoon, how you doing? And one morning I was taking this walk, and a guy that's usually either in his front lawn or on the stoop or in the driveway was out, and I said, "Good morning, how are you?" And he says, "Oh, I'm not doing too well today." I said, "What's happened?" Well, he says, "My brother in Florida just died very suddenly, without any warning." So I walked across the road and got closer to him, and I could see his eyes were tearing up. And I said, "Can I give you a hug?" And he said, "Yes, yes, I'd like that." So I gave him a hug. And then we talked a little bit about the grief he was facing, the separation he was facing, the sadness he was facing. We also talked about the gift of eternal life. And I said, called him by name, his name was also David, "Would you like a prayer?" He said, "I would." And so there we kneeled on his driveway, and I offered a prayer of comfort and support and assurance for him. Get the message out. Tell the story. Marion and I, many years ago, took a trip to Australia and New Zealand. And while we were in Melbourne, Australia, we visited the Queen Victoria Market, which is this huge city block long market, open air market. And all around the edge are tables for get a coffee, get a sandwich. So we decided to sit down and have a sandwich or something. While we were sitting there, this family arrived with three really, really energetic kids. And they sat next to us, and they were jumping around, sliding off their chair, doing things that energetic kids do. But their food came. And as soon as the food was placed in front of them, stopped immediately, everybody grabbed hold of hands, and the dad offered a prayer. Well, again, I couldn't just sit there. So I went over and I said, that's a real powerful witness. And he said, well, we are a Christian family from New Zealand, and we do practice our faith, and we're trying to bring the children up in the way they should go. Here was this moment surrounded by these hundreds, thousands of people, this little group, this little family, bowing their heads in prayer. Friends, we have a powerful message of acceptance, of inclusion, of hope, of love. We have something to say. Are we telling the story? Are we getting the message out? Are we sharing what I like to call the goods of the gospel? Second M, ministry. Another paraphrase. All this is done by God, who through Christ changed us from enemies into friends and gave us the ministry, the task of making others God's friends. Yes, we've got something to say, and we've got something to do. So how are we doing in the doing part? In pondering these words of Paul, I was led pretty quickly to the 25th chapter of Matthew's gospel, where there's the scene of the judgment of the nations and the scene of the sheep and the goats. To the sheep, I was hungry, you fed me. I was thirsty, you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. I was naked, you gave me something to wear. I was sick, you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Enter. To the goats, I was hungry, you didn't feed me. I was thirsty, I got no drink from you. I was a stranger, you did not welcome me. I was naked, you didn't give me anything to wear. I was sick, you really didn't take care of me. I was in prison, and you didn't even visit me. A few weeks ago, our outreach ministry group, under the guidance of Pat DuPont, our outreach minister, guided us through a very, very powerful worship service, which highlighted all the ministry, all the outreach opportunities this congregation has for each and every one of us. A place to plug in and get involved and do something. The Old Testament prophet Micah captures this ministry concept pretty well. What does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? And that word justice, I like the way William Sloan Coffin defines justice. This is what he says. It's worth remembering. Justice is to sort out what belongs to whom and return it to them. Justice is to sort out what belongs to whom and return it to them. So, between these two scriptural references, there's a clear call for all of us walking in the Christian community to involve ourselves in reaching out and acting and speaking where people are hurting or shoved aside, where systems benefit the stronger and the wealthier and shortchange the weaker and the poorer and the disenfranchised. Stephen reminds us so often that not only is there a great commission, go preach, teach, and baptize, but there's a great commandment, love God with everything we have, and love our neighbor as we love ourselves. the key part for Marion and me in absorbing this in our life and living on the mission field was and still is for me to be sure that what we say is not betrayed or contradicted or undercut by what we do. And here is why this text took on such deep and renewed meaning for us in the mission field, in the middle of another culture. It was not too difficult at all to speak the message, to preach the good news, to give verbal witness to our faith, even doing it in another language. That was not difficult at all. Yes, there were a couple of really bad mistakes. There was the worship service early on in our ministry, when during the altar call, I invited the congregation to dedicate their cats to the Lord. Because you see, in Ilocano, only one letter separates pusa, cat, from puso, heart. But probably my most embarrassing one was later on in ministry, and there was the time when in making the announcements during the Sunday worship service, I reminded the congregation of our midweek prayer group at the church. But instead of using the word capilia, church, I used the word caecilius, outhouse, outdoor toilet. And one of our pastors over there, one of the last times I saw him before we came home after 9 years, he said, "You're probably the only missionary that has invited us to have a prayer meeting in the outdoor toilet." So, okay, the difficulty came and continues to come in making sure our actions were congruent to what we were saying. It's not an easy thing to embrace another culture. It's even a little more difficult, in fact, a lot more difficult, to entrust your very young children to them. In doing, there were many, many times, either because we were tired, or because we were frustrated, or because we were uncertain of the culture or the traditions, that we were on the verge of not only responding, but reacting in a way that would have undercut our message, that would have contradicted what we were saying. We had to be sure, and still have to be sure, that our actions do not betray our words. Message must match ministry, and ministry must match words. So here we are. We have a message. We have something to say, to proclaim. We have a ministry. We have something to do. I often refer back in my ministry to the words of St. Francis of Assisi, and they're fitting here. Preach the gospel constantly. Occasionally, use words. Just think about that one. One day, and with this I close. One day I was at our medical clinic in the province of Apayao. And during our years in the Philippines, the province of Apayao, there were no roads, only trails, steep, rocky, dirt trails. An elderly woman arrived at our mission medical clinic after hiking 1.5 days. Now, she had passed a government-operated clinic in order to get to ours, and so I asked her why she had walked so much farther to get to our clinic. And this is what she said. So you're going to learn a little Ilocano here. Ti agas pariho, degedi im ima sabali. The medicine, the same. The hands, different. Message, ministry, something to say, something to do. A few weeks ago, our children here, provided us with a powerful worship service, and it was a worship service that introduced me to a book that has become a dear friend of mine, The Boy, the Mole, the Fox, the Horse. You maybe have read it yourself. It's a great little book. But in that service, in the offertory prayer, there was one sentence that stood out for me, and I keep it wherever I, so I can see it regularly every day. It reads, "Help us remember to look for you in the faces of those we meet every day." Help us remember to look for you in the faces of those we meet every day. So let us return to the words of Madeleine Albright. See something? A person looking sad, lonely, frightened. A situation where people are hurting or suffering. An occasion where people are treating other people not nicely. A hostile situation, a scary moment. Say something. Do something. Reach out, get involved, take a risk for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I close with the last verse of our scripture reading this morning. Therefore, since it is by God's mercy that we are engaged in this ministry, we do not lose heart. My friends, we cannot lose heart. We have to speak the message. We have to do the ministry. May it be so. Thanks be to God.
Thank you for listening to the Asbury First Weekly Sermon. If you enjoyed this message, please visit asburyfirst.org and learn more about our mission to love God and neighbor, live fully, serve all, repeat.